Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In a moment, you're going to see a slide, which is a Bible portion which was given to soldiers in World War I. It's a portion of the Gospel of St. John. Now, there are many stories of soldiers and the Bible from that time. Some of them carried a Bible or a New Testament in the left pocket over their heart, and their stories of bullets or shrapnel stopped by it. For some, it was good to have it with you. It acted as a kind of lucky charm. For others, it was good to read it. There are stories of dying soldiers found reading the Bible. But this one says, please carry this in your pocket and read it every day. Every day to hear what God wants from you and for you. It's been said about faith that in your head you have to know, but it has to travel down to your heart to be something you care about, and it has to show in your life what you do. Our first reading was from the book of the prophet Amos, and Amos gave reminders from God for the people. The people had big worship services that sounded great, but Amos said, God can't stand them because you don't care about the things that God cares about. You don't care about justice. You don't care about what's right. You don't care about the poor. Their religion wasn't real. It has to go into the head to know about, in the heart to care about, in the life to be seen in what you do. Then we come to Jesus' story of the 10 young women from Matthew's Gospel, his life of Jesus. It's one of a series of parables, stories that have a point, stories that speak to both believers and unbelievers, and to all of us, they give a challenge. It's one of a series of stories at this point in Matthew's Gospel. Two stories are about a master calling his servants to account. One is about his servant's behavior, the parable of the wise servant at the end of chapter 24. And it's about whether they'll behave responsibly or will they finally be placed with the hypocrites. One is about his servant's productivity, the parable of the money or the parable of the talents. It's about whether they're concerned with making a return on all he's invested in them, or whether they account it more prudent just to let it lie. The last story, the sheep and the goats, at the end of chapter 25, makes clear a pattern that's emerged in the other stories. The ending of each story seems to have a greater significance and weight than the setting warrants. Each ends on an alarming note of judgment. The last story is set on the great day of judgment, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the nations are gathered before him. It says much the same as Amos says, that faith that's real must show itself in a life that shows real concern for others. And then the story that we read today comes just before that. The parable of the 10 young women. It speaks about readiness, about preparedness. 10 young women are waiting for a wedding to begin. They're waiting for the groom to bring the bride to his family home. They'll form a procession to meet him. Now, if you can notice the cultural difference, Most of our weddings are about waiting for the bride to arrive. And I've taken a few weddings in my time. And in one of them, I had to wait for the bride to get out of her welly boots and into her slippers so she could process up the aisle. She came from a farming background, and so she wanted to wear the welly boots. And once I had to wait for, not for the bride, but for her father who was supporting her. And he was so moved and so grateful that she was getting married, that he was in floods of tears. But this time they're waiting for the groom. They've got a job to do. They're to be ready to welcome him. It's nighttime, and so they all have torches. Torches that need to be fed by olive oil. And the groom took his time in coming. All had torches, all had some oil, but five were wise and five were foolish. Wisdom here means being prepared, and foolishness means not being prepared enough. When the groom finally arrived at midnight, five of the torches had run out of oil. Five young women started shouting at the others and then ran off in a panic to buy oil. And they got back late. And they found that the door to the wedding feast was shut. There's more desperate shouting. "Sir, sir, let us in." And the reply, "I'm telling you the truth. I don't know you." If this were just a story, the groom would get annoyed for a while and then he'd relent and let them in. But it's more than a story. Remember, I told you about the pattern that's being laid down by Jesus. A pattern that takes us out of the world of story into a real world of warnings about God's judgment. Here the warning revolves around the word to know. The statement of the groom, "I don't know you." Being known by God has a long history in the Bible. I'll just give you one example from the New Testament. St. Paul writes to Timothy, "The solid foundation that God has laid can't be shaken. And on it are written these words, 'The Lord knows those who are his, and those who say that they belong to the Lord must turn away from wrongdoing.'" The first statement is a comfort. Christ knows those who are his. The second contains a warning. If you say that you're a believer, then let your life show it. 10 of them looked ready, but 5 actually were ready. 10 of them looked ready, but 5 weren't really ready. The people of Jesus' day were all devoutly waiting for God's promised king, but many didn't recognize him and didn't welcome him when he came to save them. Jesus weeps over this. It says in Luke's Gospel in chapter 19 that when he came closer to the city and when he saw it, he wept over it, saying, "If you only knew today what's needed for peace, but now you cannot see it. The time will come when your enemies will completely destroy you and the people within your walls. Not a single stone will they leave in its place because you didn't recognize the time when God came to save you." It's a matter of tears for Jesus. He doesn't rejoice at this. The people looked ready, but they weren't really ready when in Jesus God had come to save them. One way or another, one day we'll all meet God, either by dying or by Jesus coming back to earth. That's what the New Testament, that's what the creeds say. We'll all have to appear before the judge. Ask yourself, am I ready for that day? In Jesus, God has come to save us, to show us his kindness. But it's not automatic. We have to answer God's call for ourselves. We've an opportunity to know God and to be known by God in Jesus. People have a tendency to put important things off. They say, I've got more important things to do. They keep their Bible in their pocket or on the shelf. And through the Bible, you can discover the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Or if that seems too daunting, in the new year, we're planning to run in St. Mungo's an Alpha course. That's an opportunity where you can learn about these things in a relaxed environment with a meal, a video, and a coffee or tea. If you're interested in this, ask me about it. My email address is on the St. Mungo's website. Some things you have to investigate for yourself. You can't leave it to your church, to your family, or to your friends. It's too important for that. Have you got a faith that's real, that informs your head, that captures your heart, that shows itself in your life? Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that the challenge of Jesus comes to each of us personally, not to someone else, however dear they are to us, not to someone whom we imagine as really bad. The challenge of Jesus comes to each of us personally, in all the confusion and the mess of our lives. Help us to respond to that challenge and receive the grace that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.